morning and welcome everyone, members. Today we have been attended. Maybe I must thank Congressman Matsagan is here. There's a by-election now. If you put politicians against the vote, you don't get the politicians. There's a by-election that is taking place today, so that's why you see a number of members are not here. But just to say to members, we have received an apology from Honorable Sage. Now, sometimes members don't want to, when they talk to me, sometimes they talk to me, they don't want me to talk to the House. But Mr. Saga is not well at home. Sorry? Mister? Yes. So he's not very well, so she will not be able to be with us. But I would like to extend a special welcome to the departments that are here today. Our friends, the Public Works and COCTA. But the CFO, you like changing faces. Today you bring us this face, the next day, the other day you bring us this face, but you will tell us more. And also welcome to COCTA. And according to our program, we're supposed to start with Public Works, but because we're negotiating people, Public Works, we must appreciate Public Works for agreeing to swap with COCTA. Because National Treasury would like to be part of the presentation. So thank you very much for agreeing to acceding to our request. We are dealing with the Division of Revenue bill. The President gave the marching orders to the departments, the Minister of Finance also presented his budget on the 17th, where he said certain things would be done. The President, in his opening address, indicated to us that there will be a change in doing things. I know the press says government likes saying it's not going to be business as usual, but I suspect that it's not going to be business as usual, because now the departments are supposed to, I hope that they are ready, or they will tell us when they are going to come back to us and say to us, these are our targets, these are the outcomes, and those kind of stuff. If not right now, I hope that in the near future will be soon be ready to tell us about those things. But with respect to COCTA, I think that there are also a number of changes that I hope that COCTA will take us through. Those changes in their budget. And some of the grants that you have or changes affect National Department of Public Works. But not Health Department of Public Works will be coming. But however, what we would like to hear, hope to hear from Coctor, amongst other things, is the fact that the President, in his opening address, and in fact even the Minister, in the budget review, there's a whole page about employment. But it might not be talking about the employment that we're going to hear about public works, talking about your long-term employment. But we would really like to hear what are the departments saying about what the President has said. Also with respect to the EPWP program and the uptake on the EPWP program. I know when it was introduced, Mr. You know that the NCOP was not very comfortable with the issue of the incentive. But I hope that today also we'd also be able to hear as to what is the progress with respect to that. There are important issues that would like also public works. I mean, not public works, but COPTER to tell us about. We do know that National Treasury in the last few years replaced your RSC levies with a grant. Now we understand that you are introducing a sharing of a general levy. We'd like to hear how is this practically going to work. The progress in the implementation of your municipal fiscal powers and the function act. Municipal property rates. Implementation thereof, those kind of things. We'd really like to hear from you. But lastly, during the MTPPS, we had discussions about the rollover that we approved for the department. The discussions that we had were centering around Section 44 of the Municipal Finance Management Act, which empowers the departments to shift around finances. But the discussion really that we had with COPTER was the desirability of applying for rollovers, but utilize those rollovers for other departments. I can tell you now, we're not agreeing. We're not on the same par with our friends, National Treasury. National Treasury tells us that there are other 56 municipalities that are really struggling and would be difficult to turn around. But ours is very simple, is that in those 56 municipalities, like the rest of the country, there are people who are looking to this government to deliver. If the President stands on the podium and says, we'll create jobs on EPWP program, those people in those 56 municipalities, they don't see themselves as different from someone who is staying in a metro. They are also
expecting that how is this going to apply to them? So that's why we have, as members of parliament, a difficulty in accepting that we do see the law. The law is very clear. It allows you to shift funds around. But the issue to us is very simple. If municipality A doesn't have the capacity, the constitution enjoins both national and local. In fact, yesterday I made a mistake. I say section 154 is 216. I don't have the constitution now in front of me, which enjoins both national government and provincial government to support those municipalities. And so for us, clearly there's nothing that is going to satisfy us unless those municipalities there are supported. So the question of saying, well, we'll stop funds. Giving up revenue allows you to stop funds. But the Constitution also protects those people to which you're stopping this fund. It says Parliament must also approve. Parliament has got a role if you're stopping funds. It's not only the Department or National Treasury that has a role to, that can decide alone that if you're stopping funds, no, it's fine. Parliament has a role to, well, thank you very much. Section 216. What does section 216 say? Section 216.3 says a decision to stop the transfer of funds due to a province. It's about the province, this one. What is the municipality? But to us, it's neither here nor there, whether it's a province or what, in terms of, due to a province, in terms of section 214.1b, may be taken only in the circumstances mentioned in subsection 2. But generally, I'll look for the local government one. I mean, to us, it doesn't matter whether it's a province, whether it's a municipality. We can't be subjected to the communities protesting because their municipalities are poor, and it is the only time that we can say. So it is imperative that if the municipality doesn't have capacity, in fact, we move into a situation where this committee would like to say, you that municipality you say is... it has no capacity, but you must get a report as well that says what is it that is being done. If you look at our recommendations to Parliament, of which the Minister has responded and accepted the recommendations in terms of the budget review, our recommendation was that National Treasury and the COCTA must together, must work with provincial treasuries and your department of local government in the provinces to support municipalities. And I think that to us, there's nothing less than that we're going to accept. You must work with the local government and provincial treasuries to empower those municipalities. Because we just can't see a situation where if because the municipality is weak, then you take away the resources, we walk away, and nobody looks bad. What about the communities? Because, I mean, for us, the municipality is weak, maybe because officials are not doing the work, but the communities, they have expectations, and you can't blame themselves, you can't blame them for finding themselves in those municipalities. Because if we take away those resources that are supposed to be supporting them, it's good as saying, well, if you want to stay in those municipalities, then I don't want to use the language. But if you want to stay to those municipalities, then you never get a service delivered because you're staying in the poor municipality. Rather, you move to Johannesburg or elsewhere. You can't be staying. But those people have the right to be there. We must support them where they are. So on that note, I would really like to allow Copta to present to us. Our program is very tight, Mr. Africa, today. We have this meeting. We have requested Public Works to stay off, but it means that we must also take into account that they were here early. We would like to ensure that we don't detain them here for the whole day. But let me allow you to address us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thank you very much for the opportunity for us to give comments on the Division of Revenue Bill 2010. Chairperson, I think it was quite useful listening to you, to your opening remarks. And I think, to be frank and honest with the committee, some of the issues you've raised, we have not necessarily prepared to deal with some of those issues. So maybe let me say up front, we would really request an opportunity maybe to come back and maybe deal with some of the other matters that you've raised. But obviously, we will try and respond impromptu to some of the other matters that you've raised. So I'm requesting, if we can agree up front, that you will reconvene us quite soon and call us to your committee. Chairperson, I want to just make a few opening remarks, and then I'm going to ask my colleague to make the presentation. Let me start with introductions quickly. To my right is Dr. Batandwa Siswana. He is the gentleman that is heading our area of work linked to grants, intergovernmental fiscal relations, and that portfolio of work. And he'll be making the presentation. To the left of me is Mr. Kotelani Baloho. I think the committee knows him. He's responsible for the municipal infrastructure grant, that big pot of money that we give to municipalities. And then we also have an executive manager in our department, Mr. Nzilikazi Manike. He's responsible for local government equitable share and one or two other matters linked to the Property Rights Act and so on. So this is the team that we have. I thought I should start off by saying to yourself, Chairperson of this committee, as a first opening comment, that I can quite confidently say, and hopefully my Treasury colleagues will agree with me, I can quite confidently say that with our two new respective ministers that we have, and I'm quoting verbatim, there's a new breath of fresh air that is coming between these two departments. We have started an unprecedented bilateral process of interaction between the departments that are, and I'm saying in the last 10 years or so that I've been in the department, I've not been part of such a process that is headed at the highest level between the two institutions. But I'm starting with this point because it does have implications for this discussion today. And unfortunately, the unfortunate part is that quite a few of the discussions that we're having at that level, we are still in the process of dialoguing on those issues. But again, I wouldn't have a problem just flagging some of those issues because they are real big policy issues that inform this particular bill that we're discussing today. So that's just the first general remark. I would like the committee to appreciate that there is this ongoing process between us and some of the issues we are still in discussion. The second point is to say to the committee that at the technical level, we obviously have interacted with National Treasury, and on the one hand, there have been some matters that we've agreed to. We have found ourselves. The one example of this is with regard to the equitable share, and my colleagues can explain where we have found each other. But I also need to say up front that there are also a number of other areas, and those are the areas that we will principally focus on today, that we believe we have not managed to find each other. So that's the second point. We have been interacting. The third point to make, Chairperson, and again, I'm not getting off the point, but I think it is important for the committee just to remind itself that the cabinet and the executive has approved the local government turnaround strategy, what that means. It means that we have made a commitment as COCTA, together with our colleagues in national government and other spheres, to do a number of things. And two of the things that are relevant to this discussion today is, one, we have recommitted ourselves to work with municipalities in ways in which we have never worked with them before. And again, we can come with a separate discussion on that, on how we are doing that. But we really believe we're going to try and work with and support our municipalities in ways in which we've not done before. But the second point about the turnaround strategy is that we believe that we have been given the go-ahead by Cabinet when they approved the turnaround strategy to start a dialogue, a policy dialogue on reforming a range of issues that pertain to local government finance and to intergovernmental fiscal relations. I'm saying we believe we've been given the mandate to initiate a dialogue and a discussion on many of those things. And again, in the course of this morning's quick discussion, we can maybe flag one or two of those things. And again, some of those things relate directly to the turnaround strategy. Let me conclude with two last points. One of the matters that we think informs our approach to the discussion on the bill is a principle that we believe Cabinet has supported us on when they approved the turnaround strategy. It's a principle that says we need to have a single window of coordination, a single window of coordination when it comes to supporting and monitoring local government in this country. We believe one of the reasons why we've not managed to achieve all the results, the good results, is that the overall management monitoring of local government has been very fragmented, and we even see examples of that fragmentation in this bill that we're going to discuss today. So I'm saying that we believe that we have that mandate to be that single point of coordination, but it means we also recognize people that have got other roles to play, so it's not about assuming other roles. The other general point linked to what we feel strongly about in the turnaround strategy is that we believe we've been entrusted with resources, as has been confirmed by the Minister of National Treasury, but we believe very strongly, Chairperson, that we do not want to be a post office as COCTA. We do not want to be a post office. If we have been given the resources, we want to be given the instruments to be able to manage and follow the money, follow the rand right to the ground, to the communities. And we believe that we have not sufficiently been given the necessary instruments and necessary resources. And then we feel that in many respects we have been reduced to being that kind of post office. So having made those remarks, Chairperson, in conclusion, let me say that some of the matters that we are not completely to engage with is a new grant that we have this year, this forthcoming year, which is the Community Works Program, and I think you have indirectly alluded to that. It is a grant that has been given to us. It was piloted by the Presidency. I think the Public Works was working closely with the Presidency. So I mean, we can confirm the amount, but I know that it is a couple of 100 million rand that we'll be receiving. This grant is primarily aimed at contributing to creating job opportunities. And for the first time, on the 1st of April, we will be managing that particular grant. So I'm saying, Chairperson, unfortunately, we did not come up with those details, but we are quite excited. We are busy getting resources. We have just agreed with Public Works that they are going to second an official to our department to assist us also with that handover process and so on. So we are really rearing to tackle that additional responsibility that we've been given. Community Works Program. Community Works Program. The final point that I want to make, and I should have raised this when I was talking about the turnaround strategy, but it's linked to the grant. One of the matters that we've not raised sharply, because this is partly one of the matters that we are still discussing with National Treasury, is an approach that we think we need to adopt when it comes to better supporting the poorer municipalities, an example being these 56 municipalities that you're talking about. We are of the view, Chairperson, that we need to adopt what we call a Schedule 7 approach. We need to adopt a Schedule 7 approach to both the Municipal Infrastructure Grant and the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant. What do I mean by that? It means we feel that we know some municipalities are struggling in this country, and we are saying give national government the discretion to manage these funds on their behalf. to be able to mitigate and preempt some of the problems that we know exist in these municipalities. So what that means in practice, it means that we are saying, Chairperson, let's discuss with you in Parliament the option of agreeing that we will categorize some municipalities, we'll set aside some of the money in these two grants, and let us jointly agree that some municipalities in this country require special attention by way of support. And the way we need to do that is to create an enabling provision in law so that we don't have fights within the executive when it comes to that kind of provision. So, Chairperson, those are just some of the points that I thought I need to raise by way of context, but with your permission, I want to hand over to Dr. Siswana. This presentation is very specific. It doesn't deal with the more general issues that I've raised. Most of the issues we raised linked to the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant. There are about four or five issues, and we're going to speak directly to those five issues. But as I'm saying, Chairperson, we would like the opportunity to maybe come back and continue this engagement. Let me also say in conclusion that we are prepared to leave this meeting and go into all-night sessions with Mr. Brown and Ms. Van Noe to try and find ourselves on some of these issues. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, good morning. Members of Parliament, thank you, Acting DG, colleagues. DG outlined the key issues with regard to this presentation, and I would like to just zoom to the areas that are critical for this presentation, as DG has outlined. Chairperson, we receive comments with regards, there are the comments for with regards to the Division Revenue Bill on matters concerning the municipal infrastructure grant and the municipal infrastructure grant for cities. And what is critical for us to raise is that these were forwarded to National Treasury in August last year. And I think we were informed the way of process on the 16th, Treasury informed COCTA on the 16th November 2009. That make issues would be accommodated in the frameworks, not in the main act, since the act would not accommodate dollar issues. And as long as I put these issues forward to Chairperson, members of committee, the way of the process that has actually taken place. As a result of that process, the COCTA consulted the sector departments, as well as provincial governments, for local government, on the envisaged changes. And the mixed framework submitted to the Treasury incorporated inputs from all the sectors as well as provincial local government departments. However, Chairperson, members of Parliament, the Division of Revenue Bill that was published on the 22nd January 2010 did not include the comments submitted by COCTA. The issues primarily relate to the monitoring and recording of MIG and MIG cities. And I want to emphasize, Chairperson, members of Parliament, that these issues, I will touch on these issues briefly in my presentation. And I want to outline up front that COCTA is committed to pursue discussion with National Treasury on all the matters that we will bring, we'll be raising this presentation. Chairperson, the issue that we're going to bring in this presentation, and I want to also, as DG has said, we had a discussion around this issue. We currently have discussion around the issue that we're going to present today, so that we have a common understanding. The key issue that we put forward here is the monitoring and coordination of municipal infrastructure grant for cities. Chairperson, here we raise this issue up front that we really want to focus, make sure that we monitor the situation when it comes to the municipal infrastructure grant for cities. Currently, we don't feel that is an issue that we have, and we feel that we have that control and that function. Again, the issue put forward is reporting by municipalities receiving MIG cities. Yes, Chairperson, what we also will raise, I think the slides coming out would deal with the specific issues, but I think what is critical for us is that, as you know, that Section 11 provides for the duties of the receiving of officer in respect to Section 4 allocation. What we are saying here, we want to emphasize, make sure the reporting around the MIG cities is firm. again is the question of communication regarding withholding of transfers. I think you touched briefly on that, and the TT touched briefly. We really need very effective communication with regard to withholding of transfers, with which are outlined in Section 16. Yes.
You say these issues, you raise them when? In November.
We started in August. Yeah. Thank you. The other issue that we also want to put up front and raise, the issue of unspent conditional allocations with regards to the local government equitable share. I'll also touch on that issue in my presentation. The other area, the last point, is the preparation of the next year's budget, Section 26. But let me go quickly to the issues and with the proposal. Jefferson, what we are saying here in the proposal section nine says that we're saying that the municipal infrastructure grant cities. Here we're saying that the methods with regard to that is that we as culture, we don't feel the monitoring of that particular grant, and we feel that it is crucial that this must give us the arm or the way to monitor that particular grant effectively, and we are putting forward in the bill and we explain that. The other area which is also critical is the issue with regard to Section 11. Section 11, we're saying that as part of the report required that internal section 71, that transferring the money spending and financial performance of programs. What we are saying here is that what we need to do, we are proposing that the removal of that area in terms of the monitoring. What we are saying is that we want to make sure that we have accountability around that. We have a clear monitoring of that particular process. Currently, we don't have very effective and clear arm in terms of monitoring the infrastructure grant. And these issues, separately as they put forward, that we're discussing issues currently with Mr. Treasurer. The other area is regarding the withholding of funds. Now, here, Section 16, it states that we inform the relevant provincial treasurer and national treasurer. What we are saying here, the key issue for us as COCTA, we recommend that we give notice in this regard, should be given to provincial departments response with the relevant grant. What we are saying is that we have to inform all the people, inform the provincial treasurer. And also currently what's happening currently that we inform National Treasury but around this grant, but what I'm saying is that with comes with forwarding of funds, we must inform the National Treasury. National Treasury must also inform the provincial treasuries around it. Second, the other area which is we're putting forward is unspent conditional allocation. Section 20 allows for unspent conditional grant funding which have not been returned to the Nature Revenue Fund to be recouped from the local government equitable share or other conditional grants. COCTA recommends that the local government equitable share should be delinked from this provision. That's what we are putting forward. And again, this issue is under discussion. Now, here we are just recommending here, Jefferson, we're making some recommendations with regard to the process, and which is a new section 26, section 2. These are just mere recommendations in terms of the process, where we're saying that the receiving officer of a municipal infrastructure must by 30 May 2010 submit all technical reports to the Secretary Department response for water services. Another recommendation that we make, we're putting forward, that the response Secretary Department must evaluate the reports and provide final recommendation on the receiving officer by 31st of July 2010. The other recommendation to put forward that the receiving officer of a municipal infrastructure grant must by the 1st August submit all the project registration forms for the project to be implemented in 2011-2012 financial year. The other recommendation Chairperson put forward that the provincial departments must provide the financial recommendation to receiving officer by 30 September 2010. And the other recommendation is that the receiving officer must submit to the national transferring officer by 31st October 2010 detailed project implementation plan for all the projects to be vended in 2011-12 financial years. Such detailed Chairperson should include the timelines regarding project designs, initiating of the procurement and approvals. Chairperson, these are the proposals that we are putting forward. In conclusion, Chairperson, the Department would like to thank this opportunity provided by the committee to present by the committee on the Divisional Revenue Bill. The Department is also confident that the issues being discussed between itself and the Treasury can be resolved soon and could be incorporated in the Act once finalized. What is critical, Chairperson, about that, that's the details raised, which I want just to flag, is that we are putting proposals upfront that we want to be part of monitoring of the process, effective monitoring of the process, and also want to, as Chairperson said, that we don't want any longer to be the post office. We want to ensure that we monitor the funds up to the municipality. You know exactly what is happening. These are the proposals that we are putting forward. Thank you, Chief.
No, thank you, Chairperson, and the acting DG and the presentation that has been presented. I don't know, Chair, maybe you will help me before I get into the issues in terms of discussion. In terms of the presentation now that we have seen, it looks to me that there are lots of unresolved issues. Now, I'm battling in my mind as to whether we would have to engage with the presentation as it stands. What would we achieve with that presentation? I'm battling in my mind with it, because it seems to me that there are lots of issues that are outstanding that are under the discussion between the department and the treasury. Now, I'm tempted to ask, yes. Now, I'm tempted to ask the treasury response, but I'm battling with that same approach to say, are we going to be the mediating point? I don't think it's our job to mediate between the dispute in the Treasury and the Department. I think we should be dealing with the issues as they are finalized between the Department and Treasury. And as I see the conclusion of the slides that was put up there, it tells us quite clear that these issues must be resolved, so in order that they are incorporated in the Act. So I think that's what must happen. Now, you will help me. I think that's what must happen. And then when we discuss this issue, we discuss a complete picture. Now, frankly, the issues that they put here, the acting DG, it's almost the process of starting to resolve the issues in the budgetary process. It's almost the issues that are put into the MTEC period that the issues must refine, the process of debate and negotiations between the department take place before they are finalized. Now, I don't know whether that's the process that we're working on. We're not starting the process. The process must be finalized, and then we are racing against time, and we don't have time. Maybe, Chair, I would perhaps love to understand from the Treasury, is it in their view that if we were to say from this discussion that we don't engage with this presentation as it stands, because with most greatest respect to the department, is raw. It's a raw product. If we send them back to go and finalize this negotiation in order that we know what is this that we're talking about, are they able to get back with the final product in terms of the of this with the Treasury, having concluded the outstanding issues? Because we need to know that this is a final issue, and when we engage with the product, we must know that product is a final product. There isn't other issue outstanding, pending negotiation. Now, I need to know whether to find out from Treasury that is this possible? Can it be achieved between now and the 4th, between now and Friday, or between now and Monday? I don't know, but we need to get that information. But frankly, I need to say that I don't necessarily think we have room to engage in here. And the last point that I also perhaps would the acting DG would tell us when it comes.
Sorry, Commissioner Nzagai. I suppose that that question that you're putting to National Treasury, you're putting it to COP as well.
Yes.
Okay.
The last part is on the cabinet instruction, the new instruction to the department. The two points that he mentioned in terms of the support as well as what they think cabinet has given them the mandate, and that which is wasn't very clear. It's almost like this is assumptions by derived from the resolution of cabinet. That issue about policy and dialogue, that issue, that whole area. When I was looking at this big book, I did also see this issue about policy, and I would like to suggest maybe, Chair, not now, to understand what is it, this policy that we the department is going to be embarking upon, this dialogue, what are the areas? Is a list of things that they already decided that this is an area that is the gray area that needs to be clarified in terms of policy so that we know what is it that we are approving in terms of the policy and dialogue. So that's all I wanted to just ask, that because it's a summary, it's a shorthand, which I don't understand in terms of policy and dialogue. Nakola.
Chairperson, maybe Honorable Ramatlakane was reading what was in my mind. I am covered. And COCTA should go and do its homework soonest and come back soonest, Chair. Maybe a COCTA is one department that must come back soonest, because for now, I don't think there's... That's why I'm saying it must come back soonest, because the 4th is the day for us. So I don't know how soonest, but so far they've given us very little help. Thanks.
In fact, our report should be ready by the 2nd, at the latest. We'll have compiled our report by the 2nd. We're finishing this process on Friday. Tuesday, the report is done. On Thursday, we're supposed to debate it. Comrade Whip.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we heard from the department really helped us a lot. We must all bear in mind that the department, and as the acting DG is here, he's the accounting officer. And with all that they've presented since August, I think something should have been done. I think they tried their best to do what they needed to do, because when they are here, we need to know what they are doing. We represent the people. We know the state of the municipalities, and whenever we are here, we hammer them by saying, what are you doing? Because the people are poor. People don't have water. There are no streets. There's nothing there in the where we all come from. The infrastructure is zero. And what they are asking for really helps us a lot as a committee, because we don't know what has prevented all these things from happening. Because we are going to ask them, why was the money not spent? Why is there no infrastructure? And their negotiations with the National Treasury, to me, was something that the public out there will really like to hear. And as you say, we'd like to hear to have a full report next week about what has been done between them, if there's something that needs to be done. But I'm going to their recommendation, Section 26 of the bill. It is a very, very good recommendation that would really help us. It's actually what you call the single window coordination, and it needs a lot of capacity. What if this good recommendation can be accommodated? How capacitated are all this? Is this process to come to what will really help us to see our people getting a better life? Because this is really a very good recommendation. Are you capacitated enough? Do you see the flow of what you anticipate out of this with good capacity? Thank you, Chairperson.
I would thank you very much. Anyone else? Thank you.
Carter, you have presented. You hear what are the members saying. Just tell me, if you were sitting on this side, were sitting that side, people were presenting this report, what would you say to those people? What we are expecting from you is what you have mentioned in the... On page 88, is it 88? It's starting from 88. Let me tell you now. Starting from 89, part 6, page 90. Future work on provincial and municipal fiscal framework. Stupidly, I thought that this was your input to the division of revenue. I thought that you would stick to some of these things. Now, you really don't mention a thing out of that. You're raising important matters around your MSIG, around your MIG. I mean, those are very critical, what you call the grants. But I agree with you, with my colleagues. I don't hear what you're saying. So, in fact, I think the colleagues are right to say you. That's why I asked you that. When did this engagement start? I'm not sure. I suppose that all of you, in fact, if I remember well, you were here last year. In the Division of Revenue. I'm not talking about after the President has, before the election, when the budget was presented. There was an issue around these clauses, you remember? We asked you to go back and solve these problems. What happened? Let's get a report now. Let's start from there. You remember? We asked you to go back and help them. In fact, if I remember well, some years back, when was that? We are in 2010 now. I think it was 2007, 2008. There was a section, what you call 16, which really was a big issue in terms of accountability. Not only yourselves raised the matter. Dwarf at the time.
there is this matter. We said to you, go back and resolve this matter. Now, Honorable Ramahlakani says, our job is to look at your finished product. We assume that the product, this division of revenue, as you correctly say, that you engage over a period of time over this thing. In fact, if you remember last year, we said to you, I was at the NCO period of time. We said, Comrade Ramahlakani, we said to them, if you can resolve these issues, because between COCTA and Treasurer must tell you, this debate is an ongoing debate. It's a fight that they've never resolved, never been able to resolve in terms of exactly these lines of accountability. Now, you think that between now, for the last 12 months that they were busy with this division of revenue, they've not resolved it. Now you think that by, what is that? Sorry? The last bullet, what I say, the department is confident that the issues being discussed between itself. I would have loved them to have resolved those things in August. Not now. Not today, in August, last year. Failing which then, in the meeting that you're talking about November, this would really have been meetings that we're saying, we're crossing your, dotting your I's and crossing your T's. But not to come today and say, you have not resolved on this thing, today you're proposing the what you call, we're willing to look at your proposal. But you know better than we do that if you bring a proposal, you don't bring this proposal to us. You bring it amongst yourselves. You discuss it. So that you agree where you agree and you sort it out between yourselves. Then we can assist. What we said last year to yourselves was that if really you cannot resolve these issues, we are prepared. That's what we said, Honorable Ramahlakani. He said we are prepared to work with them. But it can't be that today we get a presentation of complaints. You know, I didn't do this. I was supposed to do this. And this is supposed to, what to call, I'm noting you, Honorable Member. This was what is supposed to be done. Because it means that now we must start from scratch now. And say to them, okay, go back together, you resolve it. But our report must be compiled on Tuesday. And it means, if you don't resolve it, we must say to Parliament, we can't pass this division of revenue. And it means, if this division of revenue is not passed, the appropriation bill will have to stall. Because in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Act, it says the appropriation bill can only be discuss if your fiscal framework has been passed, if your division of revenue has been passed, then the next step then is appropriation. Now that's why I'm asking you that if you were sitting on this side of the table, as we are sitting, what would you do? What recommendations? We should take recommendations to the House and say, no, we reject this division of revenue. If you want us to do that, because COCTA and PREZAM have not resolved their matter. If you want us to do that, we can do that. But if you want us to pass it, what is it that we're going to pass? What do we do? Because we say, we asked you early last year, not in this division of revenue, we passed the other division of revenue on condition that you were going to engage on this matter. You only engage in August. I thought that the report that was here was that since we passed it, these are the processes, this is what we have been doing. We're not getting that report. I want to appeal to you to tell us now, what is it that you want us to do now? Uh, Honorable Trevor Manuel, when he was a minister, he was saying, we're all in this together. If we think, we're thinking all of us. It's not about quota, it's not about national treasury, it's about all of us. But I'm saying the implications of not reaching an agreement means that this division of revenue must not be passed. Honorable Ramasagana says, in fact, Honorable Ramasagana, you'd be surprised. I was whispering to what you call it, to the secretary to say, now, this report. In fact, I had already looked at the dates. By the time you were talking, I had already looked at the dates. I had taken a decision. I had seen what that would have to occur. Surprisingly, all of you, you said you covered. And when you spoke, Honorable Mother says, no, she's covered. You see, National Treasury, I think that you have worked from August, September, and what? You remember, Mr. Africa, you said you prepared to work with National Treasury until, and I said with us. I meant it. I could be seems like joking. I meant it. You're going to work with us until this matter is resolved. By Friday, we must resolve this matter. If you can't do it, we'll do it with you. I've looked at the date here. We've got Thursday. In fact, Thursday we were not supposed to be having a health, but we requested, we brought it forward so that we can just have one presentation on the call. We'll have to work together to resolve it. You have to come back on Thursday. Hoping that by the time you come back on Thursday, between yourselves, you have resolved these matters that you want to resolve. But also including the amendment that you are putting, because this amendment, surely, you know better that you were supposed to have discussed it there. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond. You know, but also, Comrade Mashiko is correct to say, we would like to support you in what you're doing in your the question of coordination to be clarified. I'm not sure the Act is saying spells out what is it that needs to be reported to National Treasury and to yourselves. We really need to assist us. Resolve. Because when I look at the subsection that is in dispute now, it's not a new subsection. Last year, there was the same discussion last year. That's why I said we requested you in February last year, in fact it was in March, to go and resolve it. Clearly, it means that after those discussions, everyone went back to their offices, and we forgot about it. Now we're stuck with it again. Mr. Pras.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You have raised a number of issues that relate to the fuel levy and municipal fiscal powers and functions legislation. I'll ask Wendy to...
Just I'm sorry before you come in there. I think that COPTA has raised. I think COPTA has raised a number of discussions. You know, not only about this section. They have raised very important areas. But I hope that you will be, you will address them. That is the key issues, ne? On page 2. In fact, they don't start from there. They start just right from the introduction. In fact, if you listen very well to the acting PG, if you listen very well to that introduction, it was clear what was going to follow, you know. But I would like you to address yourself just general on the matters of resolving these things, not in detail. We'll go to detail. Just general. What is it that you advise that needs to be done? Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the Honorable Ramatlakane actually assisted a bit, and I expected the member to actually go a step further. The problem that you have is this bill that's before you was endorsed by Cabinet, which includes all of the ministers. Now, which means when it is finalized by Cabinet, it gets tabled in Parliament. Now, where we sit as officials, can we change a decision that was taken by Cabinet? Is a key question, and it's a fundamental question. Yeah. Because the bill that's before you was endorsed by Cabinet. Now, I think before I respond to the points that were raised, help us understand that part of it as well. What powers do we as officials who sit there have now today to amend a bill that was endorsed by Cabinet?
Now, this question, I think that I'm not sure with respect, Mr. Brown, if it is very, what you call it, useful. You would remember that Cabinet passes all the bills that come here. They go through Cabinet. And as Parliament, we look at the bill and we amend it as we wish. So that's why I'm saying this, it's not very helpful. Sure.
No, I agree with you. I mean, you, Parliament has got the power to amend whatever Cabinet has put forward. For me, the key issue is officials that have had an opportunity to influence a bill up to a point where Cabinet approved it. Do they come back and say, now Cabinet didn't take into account our inputs? Committee, use this information to change the bill. I don't think you can't change it. You can change it. I don't dispute that part. But I think it is our role in influencing you to change it, I think, is a concern for me, and I think we need to register it. Can I respond
to... I'm sorry. So what you're saying is that yourself, you agree on the matter, you take it to Cabinet, and Cabinet approves. So it means that you're all bound by that decision now, those of you. You're not talking now, you're not excluding us. And that's what you're calling, talking about yourselves as the officials from department. Okay, now I get your point. I think I misunderstood it earlier. So. Is that the question that you're raising?
I want to just to understand that part quickly, because I'll be able to respond to the rest of the issues that were raised.
Don't address COCTA. Address us. This is not a COCTA meeting. It's our meeting. What I would like you to do, I would want you to go further, just for our own clarity, to say this is the issue, and then you expand on that issue. Please, Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let's go to... I'll just check which slide so that I can refer specifically to the slide. It's page 2. It's not numbered, but it's section 9 of the bill. The ones that talk about section 9 of the bill. I think it will be slide number 4. Now, let me quickly just explain this part, because I think somehow we have included a clause, and I'll just ask my colleague to actually look at it, because in the previous old bill that we had, prior to getting the input from the department, we have excluded the National Transporting Officer in the entire reporting cycle, which now we have included actually in the bill. That's one element of it. Then the second part of this issue that's actually being raised there has got to do with how Schedule 4 is structured.
Sorry, Mr. Pranath, I just want us to work with you.
Okay.
I think that we understand the National Transferring Officer. I'm not sure if we do.
Oh, okay, let me... Yeah.
In this case, is it National Treasury? Is it COCTA? Who is the National
There's what you have in the conditional grant, you've got role players. You've got, say, in the example of COCTA, they administer MEG, so they will be the National Transferring Officer. In a municipality, you'll have a receiving officer who receives this allocation. Now, there was a part in the clause, I'll just look for it, where in the receiving officer part, the report must go to the National Transferring Officer. So we've included that part in it, right, which should then change the perception of the post office, because then it's no longer post office, because then the report that will be sent to the National Treasury will at the same time be sent to the National Transferring Officer, in this case, which will be the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Now, coming back to Section 9.2, I think we need to explain what a Schedule 4 grant does. A Schedule 4 grant is, and let me give you an example in numbers. The municipal infrastructure grant for cities next year will be 2 billion rand. But cities collectively spend in the order of about the six cities, in the order of in excess of about 10 billion, if not more, on capital, right, which includes their responsibility on providing for the indigent itself. Now, if you say they must report on the municipal infrastructure grant portion that they get, we say that is not sufficient. What you want the city to report on is to report on the entire capital program so that you understand what is actually happening within the entire kind of capital program, basically, not only the 2 billion. The city of Joburg can, in the first quarter, say you've given me 300 million, I've spent the entire 300 million for that matter, because you won't be able to distinguish whether they spent it on the entire capital program or only on the MIG parts, basically, of it. Now, what we've done, if you can turn to page 134 of what you have in front of you, you're going to have the conditions and the expected outputs of these specific grants. Right? Now, if you look at the outputs, and you look at what is expected, basically, from the cities. Clearly, a lot is expected, basically, from the cities to be able to report on the performance of this specific kind of grant. If I can read some of these things, is number of kilometers of roads, for example, covered, number of communities and sports facilities that they've developed, a number of households benefiting from the infrastructure linked to this thing. And we can go, because it even talk about the people, the poor communities that need to benefit out of this. So the reporting lines are quite a bit clear here. In addition to this, we have included in Section 71 of the MFMA report specific matters that they need to report on. So the point of difference between the two departments is where the department want to only focus on the MIG part, we say no, not only the MIG part. We want to know what happens in the entire city's infrastructure program, which I think links to the discussion yesterday and the point that the Honorable Singh actually raised around, are these big cities ready to deal with the infrastructure and built environment issues around it? Now, to focus only on MEG alone and its performance, we say it will not address the bigger infrastructure program that we need to talk about for those specific cities. Then if I go to Section 11 there, and I think the point that I've made on both Section 9 and Section 11, they address both the issues that were raised in Section 9 and Section 11. On withholding of funds, which is the Section 16 part, which is two slides further down, where the department says notice should be given to provincial departments responsible with the relevant grant. The notice to National Treasury must also be sent to provincial treasuries and to COCTA. That is in relation to withholding. Now, why we didn't include that, let me refer you to Section 38 of the MFMA. Because in Section 38 of the MFMA, when we talk about stopping and the management of the specific grants, the consultation process in terms of the MFMA is clear. And in there, the MEC for local government within the province must be consulted in terms of that. So that part is being covered in another piece of legislation. The way the section is crafted, because a lot of the grants that are relevant to the specific section are not only COCTA MIG grants, they are all other grants. And the treasury in the province, all of the provincial grants, the funds are deposited within the revenue fund, the provincial revenue fund. So whatever changes are made in terms of a grant, the provincial treasury specifically must also be consulted. In addition to that, the provincial treasury also assists the departments in terms of grants that flow to municipalities. And these grants themselves are actually being gazetted in terms of that. So what we are saying in terms of this clause is all the flows in terms of how they need to be possibly managed and withheld, the provincial treasury must be known. So we are of the view that the Department of Corporate Governance has been covered in terms of that. When on Section 20, the withholding of funds, right? If we can again refer to Section 38 of the MFMA, nothing prohibits anybody from withholding the local government equitable share. Because in terms of Section 38, and if I can read it, the National Treasury may stop the transfer of funds due to a municipality at its share of the local government equitable share referred to in Section 214 of the Constitution. So if we say this can't happen here, then it means we are amending this part of the Act. And we can't do that amendment in that part of the Act. Why we've included in here is just to clarify it in any case. On Section 26 of the bill, I've covered Section 20. On Section 26, where I think COCTA recommends a new Section 26.2 to read as follows, the receiving officer of a municipal infrastructure grant must by May 2010 submit all technical reports to sector departments responsible for this, which is DWA, Sports and Recreation, Roads and Transport, for all projects to be implemented. The responsible sector department must evaluate these things, and then the receiving office in the municipality must by 31st submit all the project. Now, this is the problem that you have. Are we now saying we must now split up the municipal infrastructure grant now? Because what is it that you are expecting? This grant is administered by the Department of Cooperative Governance, but what you expect a municipality must send something to another department that relates to this grant. So that same municipality must send four kind of reports for that matter, because this grant covers four or five specific kind of areas in terms of that. So they must submit all of these technical reports. I mean, if we think of the administrative burden associated with this for municipalities, it's nightmarish for that matter. It will completely be a nightmare. I think the best thing would be actually to just break up the grant into the smaller kind of portions and let DWA handle its part of the water, let Sports and Recreation handle its part, because this is what that section starts to actually start to imply for that matter there. And it is within that context that we don't support that. Then the other issue that the DG raised was on Schedule 7. Members, Schedule 7 is a grant in kind. What this means is the national department will, like the Department of Water Affairs, for example, they will develop water schemes in municipalities, and once these schemes are developed, they will be transferred basically to those specific schemes, to those municipalities, for those municipalities to actually then manage those kinds of things. Now, are we now saying we must close down some of these municipalities and everything will happen at a national level? Or should we rather build the capacity was in that municipality, so that that municipality take responsibility for the delivery of its services. And the question that we're asking, how implementable is that specific kind of proposal? Because if the money flows, let's say, to a municipality, right, the municipality gets it on its budget. It reflects it on its own budget. It does consultations with these communities based on what is known there. Now, if we say this municipality is not going to spend this, be able to spend this money, National must be able to spend it on its behalf. How do we account for that kind of spending if the National Department is going to spend that specific kind of grant on its behalf? What you may want to do is not even reflect that grant at all to that municipality. What the department could do is to identify those 20 municipalities and say, these municipalities will not be in a position to deliver these things. They will not get the municipal infrastructure grant anymore, and we will not reflect it in their books. It will be within the National Department, and the National Department will deliver it on their behalf. But then the municipality will not get the municipal infrastructure grant, and we don't need to reflect it basically that way. For now, those are my comments. Honorable Chair, I'll ask Wendy, once we've exhausted this part, that she talks about the fuel levy as well as the municipal, the fiscal powers and function legislation that you've raised. Thanks.
She can't talk about that. I mean, COGTA didn't talk about that. So we find it difficult for her to comment on something that they have not commented on. But I just want to, just for your attention, you know, when you say they are going to respond to the question as to distancing themselves on the decisions of the cabinet, on the adoption of the article, the cabinet by officials. In other words, what you meant was that between yourselves, there was an agreement when you went to, I mean, when that draft Division of Revenue went to cabinet. Is that what you mean?
No, what I've meant is when a bill is drafted, obviously there will be agreements and disagreements, right? By the time we got to cabinet, these are the issues that we didn't agree on, right? And cabinet has been briefed on that. Now, cabinet now has taken a decision. Now the cabinet has taken the decision, how do we move forward beyond that? But these are the areas that we didn't agree on at the two departments.
Ramathakane, see, what that is not helping us. You from cabinet as well, we have the experience that we have. But what this discussion is not helping us, but it should be helping us on. I've never sat in a cabinet. Don't ask me if I would want to sit tomorrow. But what is supposed to be helping us with is that exactly where Mr. Brown has stopped, ne? To say that, look, we agree here, we don't agree here. But it must say, what is it that you do about the part, the portion where you don't agree? That is where it's supposed to assist us. That what was the guidance around that? Where you don't agree. So that, you'll come back. You want to come before COGTA? Okay.
Maybe, Chair, just to ask a question on that issue. I'm not answering the question about the cabinet. I'm asking the question rather. There has been disagreement, but the presentation says very clearly that the things that COGTA wanted to see in the bill, when it was published on the 22nd of January, those issues were not included. Are the issues in this document, I assume. So that's where the bone of contention started there in January 22nd. But what I want to ask the question from COGTA is that, being the case, and the process then proceeded to the finalization of cabinet has made a decision on what must now go forward, because there are lots of negotiation on the side. But the mediating point was the cabinet decision, that this is now what we must work on, let's proceed. Now, in the today's meeting, there is this presentation, which may guess that are the issues that did not necessarily get an agreement between the two departments, and therefore they will be part of the process, the next cycle of engagement of the next process of finance cycle. So like, because those things falls off, lots of departments may say lots of things have fallen out. But what I want to ask the department is this presentation that is being presented here. Is this official position of the department, this presentation, or not? I see it written comment. I want to understand, is it this official position of the department, this what has been presented? Meaning that there is some agreement that the department must go down this way, which would have been cleared in terms of the department hierarchy. The DG would have cleared that administratively, but on the political side, because it's also having another leg of cabinet executive, this would have been cleared. So this is the line we're taking. Because if you follow the line of argument that is being presented by Treasury, that line of argument suggests that COCTA is breaking ranks with what has been agreed. And COCTA is using this platform to get back that what they have lost. Now, if that is it is so, it's quite a serious statement for me to assume. Maybe they will clarify that issue. Then if that is then the case, there would have been a political sum of clarity that this kind of a line is going to be taken, because this line does not leave the minister out of the equation of this discussion. Because the minister, at this point, the minister of COCTA, in terms of the presentation, because the other minister says, I'm keeping the line in terms of my minister, in terms of the treasury, what has he been agreed, I'm not changing, I'm holding the line. So who breaks the line? It says COCTA. And I'm paraphrasing this thing, and I'm trying to decode it so that we understand what you're talking about, so that we don't have this flurry language. So what it says here, therefore, I just simply want to know, is this been cleared with the minister politically, that this is a line? Because the implication of it is that we're discussing here something that is not cleared, which has other implication of what you said. Can we pass the budget? What do we say? So just short answer to this thing, then perhaps to clarify what route we need to take. Because the next route, Chair, is to say COCTA didn't have anything to say in terms of the issue that we are considering. And therefore, we will deal with this issue as we see it fit, because they have not made used the space created to address this particular concern, and leave this for the next cycle of a budget process. But at least I just wanted to know if this has been cleared, and then we know, because I would hate that we sit around here, we listen to all this technical argument that is not going to take us anywhere in terms of the work that we need to consider. So just to clarify, Chair.
I would really want to call a request that I respond in your question differently. To say, I'm just trying to... I'm having my PF, I'm just reading through my PFMA here in terms of the role of the DG. The DG is an accounting officer. If he comes or she comes here, we assume that we don't ask questions, because the DG is accounting officer. Whether it's acting or what, the law makes provision in terms of the acting DG, in terms of the powers, there's no difference between an acting and the full DG. There are the DGs. But I hear your point, but I would really request that let's not radically stretch it to that. They must respond to the questions that have been raised, and I think that the issue that you're raising, that of you amplifying what National Trust is saying, that this document, we assume as Parliament, was with the approval of everybody, taken to cabinet. Cabinet approved. The minister tabled it in the house. Now Costa comes and says, no, sorry, we did not agree on this. And I would assume that when Mr. Africa, when the document was finalized also at the cabinet, there was an agreement between yourself to say on those areas where there's disagreement, how you're going to take the process forward. And I think that is the issue that Honorable Ramatlagana is talking to. Because you can't say, well, we, treasurer, national treasurer, I'm not expecting national treasurer to say to yourselves, if you don't, if you disagree, anyway, we have the powers to submit a budget to Parliament. We're going ahead with or without your approval. I don't expect them to take that attitude. But let's hear from you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the comments. Let me start off on this issue about cabinet. I think my colleague is correct when he says, you know, when cabinet makes decisions, it binds the entire executive. So I think definitely, you know, we are not taking issue with that. But I want to raise three points related to that. The first point I want to raise is exactly what was said by the one member now, to say that the view that we have presented in responding to the letter that you sent to myself as the acting head of the department. It was about giving views on the bill, and these, as was confirmed by Mr. Brown, were the views that we have been in dialogue with them on. So that is what we have come to do, was to put those issues. But that is directly linked to the second issue. And the second issue for me is quite a fundamental issue which I don't have an answer to, because I think, yeah, this is where Mr. Brown also is not being useful, if I have to be frank as well. You see, Chairperson, you in your capacity as Chairperson of this committee, you've got all the right and authority to invite people to give comments, and this is exactly what we're doing. The problem that we are sitting with now as individual departments and as officials is how do we then respond to a letter that you've sent us? Because one way of interpreting what Mr. Brown has said is that, quite frankly, your departments do not then have the right to come and comment on anything that has been passed by the executive, because the executive has pronounced on something, especially when it pertains to a bill. Because if we have additional comments, that should have gone through that process. If there are previous issues, it should have gone through that process. So all I'm saying, Chairperson, is that we are now being put in an invidious position, it seems, where the impression is created now that we are possibly breaking ranks, we are possibly trying to change, undermine a decision of cabinet. So all I'm saying is that is a difficult issue that I cannot answer, but I'm saying that we are responding to a request from Parliament to come and give views, and we are coming to Parliament to give views, our views on issues we have raised in the past. So that is what we are doing here today. But I'm raising a different issue for Parliament and yourself to consider, Chairperson, because one way of interpreting what is raised is that, quite frankly, no department should now come and comment on this bill because our political principles have spoken. That is also one interpretation. So I'm saying that is where we need to be assisted. So the final point I want to make on the first issue, and again, it is difficult to comment on this, but I want to flag this because I try to understand my immediate political principle very well. You see, we cabinet adopted the local government turnaround strategy on the 3rd of December. Treasury can confirm when this bill was taken to cabinet DORA. But I am prepared to say, as an accounting office, that I suspect that there are some issues, areas of variance, of difference, in terms of emphasis, in terms of what the local government turnaround strategy has given us the mandate to pursue and to start opening up issues on the one hand, and on the other hand, what the DORA is now putting in law. I'll give one example on this. The local government turnaround strategy supported by Cabinet has supported the fact that we need to undertake a comprehensive review on every single grant going to local government in this country. We obviously painted a problem statement there. The problem statement affects many of the things that we are raising here. So Cabinet has supported us very clearly, and I'm sorry if I created the impression that this is our interpretation, very unequivocal, very unambiguous. Cabinet has supported a decision that we need to review all grants going to local government, the formulas, the criteria, how we are benefiting local municipalities, especially the kind of poorer ones, and what additional support measures we need to take. We've been given a mandate to kind of do that. Okay. So I'm saying, Chairperson, now take that decision and take the fact that we've got a bill that you must pass now. So that is the kind of tension that we manage. Chairperson, let me step off that point. Having listened to Mr. Brown, I want to come back to the very last slide and the first one. I, after listening to Mr. Brown today, I'm positive, Chair, we can come back if that's the mandate you're giving us to find each other on most of these issues, if not all of them. I mean, I can go through them individual on some of the issues I actually... No, I'm not doing that. I was just going to say that is the general comment I wanted to make.
I just want to, I thought you would help us. I mean, after having listened to us saying, you prepare this document. You see now, we're really taking the route that we shouldn't be taking, of going step by step with you. That you prepare this document, you take it to National Treasury. National Treasury says, look, this is our proposal to you. And you say to National Treasury, we disagree. And National Treasury says, well, with your agreement, with or without your agreement, we're proceeding. That was the last statement that I said to you, because all that you want to establish is, what is it? What was the agreement? What was the arrangement between yourself and National Treasury when you agree that now National Treasury can take the document to the cabinet? Mr. Honorable Ramatlagana says the agreement is that we suspect is that you said, fine, we're not agreeing with you, but in the next round we need to resolve this matter. But I say it's not a new thing. If you remember, this disagreement is not new. It's not new. We have requested you to go. I know that at one stage it was draft when there was still Mr. Brown, the Section 16. And we asked for a report. They came back and said, now we have resolved the matter in terms of how we're going to do things. Now, you know, I had not looked closely at this bill. Now, but with this discussion, I had to look at it. That's why I'm asking honorable colleagues to say, who is the national one to call? Who is this transferring officer? I thought that according to issues that you have raised. I thought that the National Transferring Officer is the Watercom, is National Treasurer. Now, it seems that you are the Transferring Officer to whom this report must go back to. But you need to, what you call it, to inform National Treasurer about what's happening, with the exception of your mixed cities. So, now, that's why I'm saying ourselves, we might discuss here a problem where there's no problem on the government level. Because Can we go to your key issues now? I mean, I think that as Parliament, we agree with you that you are responsible for the issues that you're raising, monitoring, and I mean, our understanding is that those are your areas, but the Constitution Section 216, Treasury Control. 216.1 reads that national legislation must establish a national treasury and prescribe measures to ensure both transparency and expenditure control in each sphere of government by introducing a general recognized accounting, blah, 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 those kind of things. But the Constitution, if I read correctly, it says national treasurer must establish it. It's not that the act of parliament. It's a constitution that was adopted by everyone in 1996. Now, we did raise issue with that. Now, I mean, I'm raising this in line with, so I'm not saying that I'm not sympathetic. I just want to understand when you're talking about single lines of articles. When the president also presented his State of the Nation address both last year and this year. He said the issue of working in silos should be the issue of the past. It's not going to be possible. It's not going to be possible for you, for public works, for any other department to work strictly alone without being affected by someone else. Because each department has certain responsibilities. National Treasury has a responsibility to control funds. Now, what you're asking for is that National Treasury must give you funds and they must turn their back on those funds. What transpires with those funds should not be their problem. Is that what you're asking for? It cannot be that, because the Constitution enjoins National Treasury to take this responsibility. But the Constitution enjoins you, as Coopta, to take charge of the provinces of local government as well. But within those responsibilities, there are other responsibilities with the province in terms of service delivery, whether it's education or it's anything. So there are no powers that are absolute. They cannot be absolute. And I don't think that you request, that is what you're demanding for. So I'm saying we need to come to some finality. But before I do that, I just want to check if colleagues would like to comment. Are you fine, colleagues? Okay, you can come.
Okay, no, thank you, Chairperson. No, I'm not sure that there's a big difference between what we are saying, Chairperson. If I have to use just one example, what you've just said now. I mean, certainly, and I started off very deliberately by saying what I was saying. You know, this department and Treasury, we are in an unprecedented bilateral process that I've never seen before. And that process is about addressing many of the issues. The one issue, and I'm now speaking on matters that I should not necessarily be speaking on, one of the matters we're discussing with Treasury is precisely Section 216 of the Constitution and how you interpret that. And we've got different views. We have absolutely different views on how to interpret that particular section. Our view, and I'm just going to say this, and hopefully my minister will come in and elaborate if you want to get him here, but our view is that Treasury definitely has got the mandate to establish norms and standards around fiscal matters, financial management matters across the three states. We absolutely support that. Where we have an issue is that Treasury is going way beyond that to be the implementer, to manage grants, to work right in provinces and municipalities, and to play certain roles that we believe is not its responsibility. So it is being a player and a referee at the same time. And that is where things get muddled up. So that is where we're beginning to have different views. And the example of the mixed cities is precisely an indication of that. National Treasury is wanting certain things, they want to have certain responsibilities, where we are saying, and you are, again, let me comment on what you're saying. It is not a matter of COPTA asking for funds and saying they must turn our back. We are saying, give us the funds and hold us fully accountable and responsible, and we will report to you. But don't also try and get in matters of grant management and implementation when it comes to matters of municipalities. That is where we're beginning to have a difference. So Chairperson, I'm saying we are absolutely committed in general to kind of working together. Now, I'm not sure if you want me to get into the issues, because my general comment, Chair, and I'm really honest when I say this because I've listened closely to Mr. Brown, I would like to believe we can find ourselves on most of these issues. Let me give one example. Sure. Shall I do just this one example? Because I really think you must give us a day. We'll come back on Thursday and we'll give a report. When Mr. Brown talks about 2 billion rand of the mixed cities, going and the CAPEX budget is much bigger than that, we absolutely agree that we need to see the big picture. We absolutely agree on that. But that now does not mean that we must be excluded from the process. It comes back to this thing of single window of coordination, of knowing what is happening in local government. And again, these are the kind of tensions that we need to manage. So the one idea that I was just thinking, listening to him, is why don't we ensure that these reports come to both of us? Why must it only go to Treasury when it comes to kind of the... So I'm just saying those are some of the ways in which I think we can very simply find each other. And it doesn't become a big policy issue. It's a very pragmatic example. There are one or two things that are slightly more difficult, like the thing about Section 16, because our view around grants, and again, there's a history to this which we don't have to bore the committee on, but our view when it comes to grants is that Treasury has taken a particular position, and I'm generalizing now, which has tended to exclude provincial departments of local government in terms of being part of the chain of support and monitoring. And we can give you the details on this. Where a decision was taken to exclude provincial departments of getting money to enable them to play a hands-on management support role. We have a different view, so I'm just giving that as another example.
No. Let's just stop it there. We might, what you call it, say things that we really don't want to say. And I'm not sure if they would be correct, because in another life, my experience with some of your officials around here who have been to provinces, once the MFMA was introduced, where we had ourselves mobilized both provincial and the provincial treasuries and provincial departments of local government to work together to support the municipalities. Maybe you know better. It's your department. You know better than us. But we really want to take a decision on this matter. But I see Treasurer wants to make a comment. I hope that he's going to assist us, not take us back, please.
Let me make a proposal, Honorable Chair, to my colleagues here. I don't think, and this is the point the Honorable Ramachakane made, is that if the process started in August and we couldn't find ourselves on this day, what are the chances of us finding ourselves before Monday or Tuesday on this matter? I think it's virtually zero for now. Right? What I would propose is let's take the bill that was tabled in Parliament and that's before you as a statement of Cabinet for now, and treat these matters that are presented here today as outstanding matters that the Department needs to resolve over the period for the next bill, and then we just possibly take it from there. And if needs be, we could be in the new year when we start to involve the parliamentarians quite earlier in the specific kind of process and really resolve this matter along those specific kind of lines. There may be issues where we can find each other, but I doubt that we will be able to finalize this thing before you finalize your process for that matter or not. I propose that we present whatever is presented to you that it be considered as a statement of cabinet as it is.
You want to come in? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We are listening to two issues here. One is that of a turnaround strategy, which to me is a very good. I don't know, maybe I haven't been going along with a lot of things that's happening, but this turnaround strategy always tells me the people down there are going to benefit now. And the fact that there's interaction with National Treasury about the equitable share debt, we've gone through it a lot. But in this good turnaround strategy, the department said they were given resources but no instruments. I think that's what I could hear, if it's like that. The resources are there, but the question is whether they don't have all that necessary muscle to work. So if we are going to leave it like this, with this turnaround strategy and wait for the next bill, I think, as they say, there's no time. But I think we need to understand something here, because if there's this turnaround strategy, which was approved by cabinet and executive, and there's this little disagreement between the two departments, which could be solved in a way that will also satisfy us by saying, and they don't agree over the who should be accountable. We are going to hold them accountable, and Treasury will be there. And now I would like to see us coming to an agreement with the department where, when we go to our constituencies, when they tell us we don't have this, we are going to do it next week, I don't know what to say to those people. So it seems those issues of the people down there are ignored, and the technicalities are the things that we are sitting with. That's a thing that really I won't personally agree with. Let's do what you think is right. If National Treasury and the department have to agree on how to hold the process from now on, so that we stop all those things, disputes in the people and in the communities, and we are able to answer the people when they say we don't have any infrastructure. I'm not going to say, by the way, what did Mr. Brown say? What did Mr. Africa say? Oh, they were fighting. They didn't come to any agreement. We want to know that we need to tell people that I am going to contact COPTA, or I'm going to phone Dr. Sizwana or the Mr. Africa, or I must know that I'm going to say this and be able to answer those people tomorrow. Not to say we didn't agree on that. You know, we took the bill, we passed the bill, but let's tell you, despite this, we had to pass it because there were a few days outstanding. If we have to have the minister here and ask him, what should we do before we pass this thing, we'll have to ask them both, and they tell us what to do. Because I understand what the turnaround strategy talks about, because it talks about the people we represent here. The technicalities of everything must just be taking us and make us poor public representatives understand the language we are going to tell our people, or we decide on what to say. Even if we still don't understand this money bill, we'll just have to say, somewhere, help us with the money bill, really. We want to see better life. The people, water not being wasted in the street, or people not knowing what to do without electricity. Many things are not being done because of technicalities. Let's just go over technicalities and listen carefully on what we're supposed to do. I saw Mr. Khumalo raising his hand. I don't know what he was going to say.
No, thank you, Chair. I think, Chairperson, the differences between the Treasury and COCTA are not small in my listening. There's some fundamental question that has been raised by COCTA, and unfortunately, they're not going to be resolved in this room as we sit here. Now, it's impossible. The Treasury statement is that they would not necessarily see this issue being resolved between now and next week. So what does that leave with us? I mean, it leaves us with a point that we would have to work with what we have on the table. And that what we have on the table is that we have the document, we have the draft bill that we are considering. We have to consider that. And I think we're stretching a bit the cabinet mandate. I think by their own admission, they are in the process of doing the review on all the grants, which I suspect that review would then influence the next bill that is going to come about. Because the review, that with that mandate, it will then put the COCTA central to some of the activity that has been raised now. So I don't think necessarily it's a train smash for us to say, let's allow that process that they are embarking upon. They will complete that process and then, of course, report to cabinet as a cabinet mandate. And once that has been adopted, will then become the norms, the way the things, the modus operandi, that will then regulate how those grants are going to operate and what role each department has to play in them. So on that score, we'll then consider it at that time. For now, I think it's a bit early for us to be able to even comment about what will come into the future. So I want therefore to suggest, Chair, that I think let's accept that COCTA believe that they can resolve this issue, but the partner doesn't believe so. And I also don't believe so, because the issue's been raised. I'm not commenting on that. So I suggest that we give them opportunity to do that, but in terms of our process, we're not going to be able to allow a feedback from that process, because that process is quite loaded. Let them go ahead and let's accept with their own acknowledgement too that they, whether the document comments, it is not necessarily saying that they break in ranks. So it was a comment, and it must be accepted as a comment and nothing more than that. And then recognizing that the other processes, I think that's how we should then proceed with the matter.
Yeah, maybe I can try. I think, you know, from the discussion this morning, there's quite a number of issues that are happening at the same time. I want to say just highlight that if one thinks about the Division of Revenue Bill, there are issues that even the Commission raised. I think if you look at the submission of the commission in terms of the bill itself, forget the allocations and all the grants and all of that. One of the key questions that one asks there is how does the Division of Revenue Bill assist us as an instrument to realize certain strategic objectives that government wants to achieve at any particular point in time? And one of the issues that the DG from COCTA raises is quite important to that is, it has to do with the turnaround strategy for local government, and who is at the center for that. And quite a number of issues arising out of that relate to some of those issues addressed by the Division of Revenue Bill in one way or another. And therefore, if one thinks about it, I mean, our discussions with the National Treasury in terms of those kinds of broader issues and how the bill is crafted and how it's been done I can refer to all of the other issues that you can cross-reference to the PFMA, to the MFMA. All of those things are there. But we basically agreed that we need a very comprehensive review of that bill. And in our discussions with them 2 weeks ago, we actually agreed that as a commission, we will take it from now. We take that and basically start a review of that. And I think the kind of timelines that we're looking at was to come back with something of a draft round about May, June, somewhere thereabouts. But it's those kinds of things that if we look at it, and look at it from what COGTA has presented, there's another department that will come probably with similar kind of issues focusing on that particular sector. And one needs a more comprehensive approach to it rather than just, I think what we need to take from here is that there are issues that COGTA and National Treasury have not agreed to for this particular round. And obviously some of them, I can attest to that they've been ongoing for some time. We've been observing some of those. But I think the way forward basically is what Honorable Ramatlakane is putting on the table, that let's take this as a process that is, and note those comments that have been raised, and let's find a way of dealing with them.
That's helpful, Mr. Kumar. You know, if we had 2 weeks, we would take a different decision. Because we don't have 2 weeks now, we'll take I think the members are suggesting, because they're also looking at the timelines that we have within which to compile the report and everything. I think the proposal, one, that now we're making is that National Treasury and COGTA. One is that we must take this document as a document, Division of Revenue, as a document that was agreed upon pending the resolution of certain matters. And that is the report that at this committee we're taking to the House. That you adopted it, but there are matters that you still need to work on. But two, we can't leave it at that. You must be able to say, would want to be involved in these matters of, I think there are two levels. Level one is this division of revenue that we're talking about. That is where I'm saying we shall be involved. Our involvement is not sitting with you, as Honorable Matana was saying earlier, but to say, excuse me, we would like you to come back to us with a date that will give you to say, on these matters, how have you resolved on them? And I hope that what we are saying, our colleagues at the NSOP would want to speak to them so that we adopt the same, what you call it, position around that. That is one level. So, we would really like you to tease out all the issues that you have raised here. And some of them, I think number four, for instance, I think it's not a small one. The issue of unspent conditional grants. But on all these issues, there are guidelines in terms of if this is not happening, what needs to be done. So that is one level. But at another level, you saying that even the Constitution, and you're not saying that it's the interpretation of the Constitution. I thought you would say that the way you interpret the Constitution is never the same, but it's the way the Constitution stands. And, you know, luckily today, no, I can't say this with absolute certainty that the both ministers, the one for Treasury and the one for Coopter, were not necessarily what you call it, involved in the constitution. Because if they were people who were involved in Christians, we could say they were throwing a javelin, you know. Now, luckily, both of them were not dead. But, I mean, that matter, I know that Coopter is busy with a review. And I think that you have not yet finalized that process. And I think that a lot of things will come out of that process. Maybe that can look at the issues, deal with the issues that you're raising. Because if we lump this thing together, we may not be able to resolve it until the next Tribunal of Revenue is resolved. But I would like to say to National Treasury, you see, we're working on assumptions as members of Parliament that the Intergovernmental Relations Act speaks about processes of the budget processes. Would really like national, as led by National Treasury, all those steps to be properly followed. And we assume that when you're moving from one step to another, there is some kind of agreement from one step to another. So that we don't want that on issues that we're supposed to have resolved elsewhere, we come here. You're quite right, Mr. Africa, that you have a right to raise issues with this parliament. Issues that you feel that you're not happy with. In fact, I mean, if we could say to you, you can't do that because you had a discussion at another level and therefore you can't come and raise these things here, I think that will be defeating our constitution. Because it also helps us as members who do not have access to those to say, what are the shortcomings of those processes? The processes that you're raising are the correct processes, but how do we ensure? Because if you don't talk about these things, in future, tomorrow we'll come back and find ourselves still in the same, what you call the place that we were today. But we don't want to do that. We want to resolve these things and resolve them for good. Unfortunately, separation of power says the executive, you must do your own thing then. And as the legislature, we receive these things at a certain time. But I think that, honorable members, we need to get, we need to be involved now on these matters. One, next week, the 4th, we're passing the Division of Revenue. We're passing it. I have spelled out the conditions under which we're going to pass. And we would want to have your support, because our condition is that the discussions that you had last year will continue. But we would like to give you a shorter time within which you must come back and report to us, feeling which will sit with you. There's nothing wrong for us in intervening and sitting with you, so that sometimes we can with you stress out those areas. And I'm saying the areas that you would like to assist in resolving, that you think that you must resolve, is those areas that you can, that we think that are resolvable within a short space of time. We do realize the long-term ones that needs to be taken up. I think one, monitoring and coordination of municipal infrastructure grants. I don't think that the Division of Revenue is not affecting as much, especially with cross-reference, because each law does not negate the other laws that exist there. Does not negate the PSMA, does not negate the FMA. Would like we think that these are resolvable. Reporting by municipalities, we think that if you take all these laws into account, including the division of revenue, we should find a solution. But I think that what this division of revenue says, and what perhaps you would like to cut against, is to burden the municipalities with a lot of reporting lines. You know, I don't think that, because Honorable Mashiko says, the municipalities' primary responsibility is to deliver services, not to be bogged down with a thousand lines of reporting. They must report to this person and to that person. You must agree that if the report comes to you, then it will be communicated to National Treasury or vice versa, the way you agree, so that municipalities then continue with the primary functions. Communications regarding withholding of transfers. You see here, I think that you can also resolve. I don't think that also as a parliament, you know, our parliament is not an old parliament. I mean, we are 15 years. And I think that we are all in the learning curve. We have what you call, there's something that we have not taken into account, the role of Parliament in this withholding of funds. We thought that is something that between the executive you can decide. But the Constitution clearly gives Parliament certain responsibilities. That you can't just withhold funds and then it ends there. We have a role here to intervene and where you want us to intervene. It also gives time frames that if this withholding is going to be to mean that you're going to take away those resources for the rest of the term because you think that a municipality can't deliver, surely we must intervene. And I don't think that, I can say it up front, I don't think that it will ever support that. Because ours is to ensure that that municipality is supported. We must have to call a spell out how the municipality is supported. Yesterday you were not here. We were saying to National Treasury. In the past, there used to be a clause here that would say, for instance, in this grant, around 4% of that must go towards building capacity for the implementing what you call a department and or whoever. And we were informed that I'm being pressurized now because we have another meeting. No, I'm being reminded. We're informed that it is provided for elsewhere. And I think that in the next round, would like it to be spelled very clearly, so that each and every person who is supposed to deal a receiving officer must be very clear in terms of what is it that can do with the money or not. Will that person have the right to use a certain percentage of that grant to build capacity so that they can spend or not? It must be very clear. It's not very clear now, but you do find that Treasurer pointed it out to us, but I'm not sure if we're really satisfied with the way it is. It's spread throughout. So, well, the issues of unspent conditional grants, I think on these issues there are all guidelines as well in terms of what needs to be done. And I think that you're raising that with respect to the local government equitable share. You see, I think that what you need to do, like we have indicated, that if there are problems with that because last year, National Treasury intended to take certain steps. You must resolve those things. But I'm saying that is one, what you call a step. But clearly, that resolution may be a short-term stopgap measure. You want something to resolve it over a long term. And I think that we would agree with that. But we want a report back on these matters. We're not going to entertain number five, preparation for next year's budget. Preparation for next year's budget means that if you engage in these processes, it will assist as well into going to that. And I think that you must solve it. You know, Mr. Brown, we normally have a problem as chairpersons. You invite us to the budget council. We go there. Every year, every day, the battle that we fight when we leave here is to say, what is your role there in the context of the separation of powers? Well, we feel it's important and what, but we have not answered the question because it keeps on cropping up all the time, not just for us as in this financial cluster, but for chairperson across, whether people are going to MINMEC or what, this question Parliament keeps on raising. So I'm raising it to say, when do we want to, when can perhaps we must discuss, all of us, we must engage, especially with National Children, ourselves, in terms of at what stage can we intervene on our government, so that we don't wait and then at the last minute, then we have to intervene. I don't believe that we can't together. There is, Constitution talks about independence of these structures, but there is interdependence. Because each one, whether it's judiciary, whether it's executive, whether it's ourselves, we need one another. So I think that we can, what you call together work on these matters. So that's how we would like to sum this up. You know, when you requested to come first, I thought that it's going to be 30 minutes and then we get it over. So this is how we sum it up, and we hope that we are all in agreement with this summation. And the date, we'll communicate the date, but in 2 weeks' time. Is that fine, colleagues? In 2 weeks' time, they must come back to us and report on this matter. Thank you very much. Dr. Ravi, you want to say something? You're fine. Okay. Well, thank you very much. You want to say your last comment, but the chairperson has spoken. Fine.
Yeah, no, thanks. I think we have time. I can join them in their offices and spend an hour and just talk through these things quick and see whether we can find each other on this thing. But I'm fine with the 2 weeks.
I can provide that. Yes. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Cocta. But Cocta, I think that, you know, the comment about where we started between Comrade Ramahlakane and now I'm talking something else now, and Mamun Mabola and myself. Really. We really have to work together in terms of what is it that we expect from you when you come and report to us on this matter. Because I don't want to count the number of times that we turn people back, because they have not what you call, they're coming with their own things, not what we are expecting them to do. We appreciate the issues that you have, you want to respond to. you must respond to. But there are those issues that are assumed that you will respond to. And we want your response to those things. In fact, over and above this thing, I want you, I see Ms. Fano, she was sitting there very patiently so that you would respond to some of this restructuring that we are talking about, your RSC levies, your municipal fiscal framework. What is it? Your municipal fiscal powers and functions act, you know, your implementation of municipal property rates act, all those kind of things. And sooner or later, Public Works is going to comment on those things, and we have not heard your comment. We'd really like you to send us your comment by Monday. At the latest, by the end of business day on Friday, we must receive the comments on this. Today is Wednesday. Wendy, you want to talk to me?
Thank you for the opportunity and to address these issues. The reason why we actually included in the Division of Revenue Bill is to alert the committee of the development that's going to take place, that's going to impact or is currently to some extent impacting on the municipal fiscal framework. With regard to the fuel levy, it's been introduced last year for the first time. The necessary legislative amendment has been done through taxation legislation, and it's already been implemented for one full year, where there's a three-year phasing period where in the end it's going to be completely based on fuel sales within those metropolitan areas. So that is to replace the former regional service council levies that were in place, which were abolished in 2007 or 2008. The RSC levies also went to district municipalities, and RSC levy replacement grant has been introduced, which is based on former RSC levies collected by those district municipalities. That issue is currently, with regard to metros, the RSC levies issue has been basically solved. A replacement source has been identified. And that is in addition to the VAT zero rating, which brought in about 2 billion rand into the coffers of municipalities as well. With regard to the RSC levy replacement grant, which is currently in place for district municipalities, we are awaiting the outcomes of the white paper review process, which will clarify the roles and responsibilities between district and local municipalities. And as soon as those expenditure responsibilities of district and local municipalities are sorted out, the funding system will also be reviewed to complement the services so that the appropriate municipalities have sufficient revenues to actually undertake their service delivery responsibilities. Until that stage, the RSC levy replacement grant will remain in place.
I'm really sorry, Ms. Fano. I think that what we need to do, these things are important. We can't just brush them aside and say we listen to you and then they respond in writing. Can I just plead with you that maybe we didn't want to say I'm out of order. Because what we could have done, we agreed that in 2 weeks' time you will report on this matter. And when we do that, I would really like us to go back, to come back to this issue. We need to address these issues. It's important, and all of them. They are important. We must reach an agreement around them. Mr. Manny?
You raised.
We define the order.
No, it's just to make some clarity so that we are clear. On these three things which you made reference to that we have not commented on, Okay. No, but so we don't need to give you anything. Okay, no, it's fine, because I was just saying we have seen what Treasury has put on the MPRA, which is administered by us, and we agreed with them, so we couldn't comment on things which we ourselves we have seen and agreed to. So that is the reason. And on these other things, on the fuel levy and the municipal fiscal powers and functions, there are those engagements on those issues, so there was nothing for us to raise as an issue of concern at the moment.
Now it's fine. What you can do then, you can give us that that response and say if you are agreeing on this matter, it's fine. But I think that it's important for us, for members to understand, not only for you now, they are here in this, what you call it, in this book. We must be clear in terms of what is it that you are agreeing with. So I'm saying let's not leave it, Mr. Wascone, until we meet, we'll tell you, we'll give you a date where we're going to have a discussion on this matter, okay, together. Thank you very much. No, not on this matter, no. We don't need to comment on this matter anymore. Colleagues, and Public Works, I really ask for your indulgence here. You know, I have a meeting starting at half past 12. This meeting is about the implementation of the money bills act with the speaker's office and these people. Started at half past 12. Up to 2 o'clock. So I would really, what you call, I understand. Can I just plead with you that 2 o'clock sharp we start? Because now, I mean, with those people, we are also, we have the responsibility of driving that act. With the House Chair, Ms. Bapela, of in the Speaker's office. Now, I know now that when we're not there, that meeting is not going to start until we come. So we really asking for your indulgence that you go to that meeting and then 2 o'clock we start. Acting PG, at least I can abuse you. You were new. I'm joking.
Chair, the venue, will this be in the same venue, 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
Thank you.
Can I request that at 2 o'clock?
Dopo l'uomo con la mano. Grazie.